If you would, please turn to the book of Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37. I'd like to read verse 4 and 5. My text will be verse 4. So Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Do you have an interest in anything? Is there something which really gets your heart going? Is there anything in which you take joy? Is there anything you take delight in? Actually, I would conclude that there are several or many things in which you take pleasure. For instance, what do you spend your money on? Again, on what do you utilize your time? And again, what do you think about the most? Where do you go? Who do you spend time with? What activities bring you joy? Well, I know that these might overlap, and I'm sure that they do. But the point is, there are things in our lives in which we delight. There are people we like to be around, and people whom we would like to please or bring joy to. As a man may say about his wife, "I take delight in her." And so I ask again, is there anything you take delight in? Well, among the things of life, I trust that every Christian here would answer, "I take delight in God." That is, you desire the things of God. You want to be pleasing to God. You find great joy in knowing God. And despite all the things of this life which might vie for your attention, you've chosen to make God your top priority. Is it so? Well, my objective is to look into our text and extend a challenge to each of us, for those of us who name the name of Christ, to look within and to search our hearts and ask ourselves, what is it I delight in? And I pray that the answer will be that of our text. May we delight in God. And sinner, may you feel your need of Him. May you sense the emptiness of your life without Him. May you find yourself to have a desire to delight in God. And I pray that you would be saved today. I'd like to speak to you from our text, Psalm 37, verse 4, a message which I have entitled, "Delight in God." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being in your house and for those that are here today. And Lord, we ask that you would just set our hearts and our thoughts away from the cares and the considerations of the world, that we might come and worship you and dwell upon you and think about your word. And I ask that as the word goes forth, you'd speak to every one of us. And especially for those of us who are saved, that we would search our hearts today and see how much we really delight in you. And Lord, we pray that you would then move by your Spirit on our hearts to make adequate correction. And we ask if there's any here today that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, and we pray that they would be saved today. Lord, we love you, we honor you, we praise you, we pray for your guidance and direction, so we commit this time to you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and it's for his sake. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 4, I believe we are told here to delight in God. Look at the text, Psalm 37, 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." The first thing I would like to do is give a definition and perhaps pursue an understanding of what this phrase means. The word delight in our text in Psalm 37, verse 4, the Hebrew word means, most properly, it means to live delicately, meaning then to be tender or delicate. Thus, it is living a life of ease or pleasure. And we derive from that then, and we certainly see it in the text, it is to find delight or pleasure in anything. And so you get the idea, to delight. And you know that term anyway, and Webster defines it in the 10th edition, among many of the definitions of which Webster will list. He defines delight as a high degree of gratification, joy. It is extreme satisfaction, and it's something that gives great pleasure. That's delight. And we know what delight is. Now, we're told in our text to delight thyself also in the Lord. And I encourage you, Christian, to delight in God. But let's pursue this understanding a little bit further, because there are two general expressions that are given in the Scripture that I want to pursue. Thoughts that are expressed in the same sense of what we find in our text. And the first one is found in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, so I invite you to turn over there. And so looking at these two references, we're going to look here in Isaiah 58 and another one in just a moment, and we're going to see some things about delighting in God. And so if you'll take the Hebrew term and the English term and glean from these two references, I think we can come up with an adequate understanding of what it is to delight, and we want to delight in God. Isaiah chapter 58. I want to direct your attention to verse 13 and verse 14, and I understand that this is instruction given to the Jews, but as we see these terms being brought out, you'll understand the idea behind it. So just notice Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor find thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now what we find here is, again, is instruction given to the Jews. It's in regard to their response to the Sabbath, and how the Jews, by commandment and by covenant, ought to respond to God in regard to the Sabbath. And I'm not implying here that we're going to keep this and we're going to apply this, but what we see is a direction or a definition of this matter of delighting in God. And so if you look into this text, you'll see in this passage where in verse 13 he says that you need to turn away from your pleasure on the holy day, and you need to call my Sabbath the delight, it's the holy of the Lord, thou shalt honor him, and so forth. You look in these verses, you'll find that to delight in God is a matter of honoring God. It says thou shalt honor him in the middle part of verse 13. And then you're going to honor what God honors. What is it that God honors? God honors the Sabbath. And so he says, that's which is honorable. And then you're going to honor God. And so if you're going to delight in God, you want to honor God. You want to honor what God honors. And also you'll see at the latter part of then, verse 13, the matter of not pursuing your own will, but his will. He says in that next phrase, not doing thine own ways. It's not up to you to make your own decisions, to do your own thing. You follow God's ways. And then it's not to seek to please yourself. So the last part of verse 13 says that, nor finding thine own pleasure. It's not about you. Rather, God is going to be your pleasure. God is going to bring your joy. So in sum, when you look at the verse 14, the very next part of that, and that first phrase of that, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And so what do you see the instruction given to the Jews? Hey, if you would correct your the ways of which you're doing, because up to that point, in some degree, they were going away from God, they weren't obeying the commandments, and they weren't keeping the Sabbath. And so God instructs his people, the Jews, and says, if you want to delight in me, what you need to do is you need to honor me, you need to honor what I honor, you don't pursue your way, but pursue my way, you don't please yourself, you please me. And in doing so, the verse 14 says, thou shalt then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Does that make sense? Can you glean from that? Do you see what he is saying unto them? Well, if you go to the second general expression, it's found in Job 22. Go back to Job. By the way, the Hebrew terms and the expressions that are given in these passages are the same. And so I'm not making a stretch here. I'm just giving you some parallel passages. Now in Job, what I want you to see, and you have to be careful about the book of Job sometimes, because there are several characters that are making discussion, and not all the time do Job's friends have the truth. They give their perspective on some things, but you know, in comparison to the scriptures here, when we look into Job 22, this is going to be Eliphaz and him exhorting Job. And he happens to be right on the money. I know that because of our text. I know it because of Isaiah chapter 58. And see what he tells Job here in Job 22. We're going to read verse 21 down through verse 27. I'm going to come back and just make a few points of that. I don't expect you to remember all the details of the passage. But Job 22, Eliphaz is exhorting Job. And in verse 21 it says, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Notice, for then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. See, some of the complaints of his friends against Job is all that was coming upon him because he had sinned against God and was backslidden and all that kind of thing, and Job just wouldn't make it right. But the instruction given unto him at this point is, here are some things you need to do, Job, and if you would, you'll end up delighting yourself in God. And what did you see in the passage? Back in verse 21, notice first of all, he tells him to be aware of who God is. Acquaint now thyself with him. You want to delight in God, you have to have some, a knowledge of him. Acquaint yourself with him. And verse 22, accept and believe God's word. I think it's clear. He says, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If you want to delight yourself in God, you can't ignore the scripture, can you? And so he tells him, you understand who God is. You understand his word. And then, of course, he tells him to be restored and repent and obey God. So verse 23, he says, if thou return to the Almighty. So you can't be out in the world doing your will and your way and refusing God and say you're delighting in him. It's just not going to happen. So he's telling Job, this is what you need to do. You need to correct. You want to return unto the Lord. And if you do that, he says, then God will bring you pleasure. You'll be a pleasure to God, and you'll be joy before the Lord. But in sum, even as we noticed over in Isaiah 58, verse 14, look here in verse 26, for then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty. But Job, if you're running, if you're backslidden, if you're cold, if you won't listen to God, if you're not acquainted with his ways, and you're not interested in all those things, you're not delighting in God. You get the point, don't you? Go back to our text in Psalm 37. So we see this phrase, and this, so our text, along with these other two, kind of gives us an idea of what the psalmist David is saying unto us when he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Now, one of the commentators had made this statement. The meaning here is, and I'm quoting, the meaning here is that we should seek our happiness in God, in his being, his perfections, his friendship, his love. And if we're not doing that, we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord. You see that. So we need to pursue after the Lord. Spurgeon said this, make Jehovah the joy and rejoicing of thy spirit. There is every incentive to sacred enjoyment of the most elevated and ecstatic kind. Every name, attribute, word, or deed of Jehovah should be delightful to us. Does that make sense? You get an idea? Delight thyself also in the Lord. But as we continue this understanding, I trust your definition is becoming more full and kind of like a flower in bloom opening up, and you get a little bit more than just a simple English definition. I would like to express to you two New Testament equivalents. Turn, if you would, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I am not in any sense attempting to express to you that if you take the Hebrew and compare it to this English, that they are identical. I'm not trying to say that at all. What I am giving to you is some equivalent idea that's found in the New Testament that conveys the same sense. That's right, I should be done in a minute. And so here in Colossians chapter 3, to get this New Testament perspective, I see it first of all from a English thought, because this is the translation of the Greek, and in English this seems to appear to us the same idea, to delight yourself in the Lord. Colossians 3, look at verse 1 and verse 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now that's an exhortation to Christians. Do you think that that might have some idea about delighting yourself in the Lord? Now, you look into this text, and he says in verse 1 that you ought to seek. That word seek means to seek. It is to search for, it is to look for, it is to long after. And then in verse 2, he says, set your affection. Now, what you have to understand, you're not going to catch this from the English. The Greek word does not give the idea or the sense of emotion. When we say set your affection, we're thinking emotional. Oh, I'm affectionate toward that. But really, the word in the Greek means to think about. It is to mind. And therefore, it is to incline or to set your mind upon. Have the mindset of. And so he says, you seek those things which are above. Have the mindset. Have your mind focused on those things above. And so the English is translated for us here in the text, set your affection. But when you think about that word pursue or seek there in verse 1, it is the idea of pursue. It is the idea of desire, to delight in. Are you going to seek something you don't desire? Not normally. But what are we told to seek? In verse 1, it says that we are to seek heavenly things. We also find that we are seek those things which are pertaining to Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. So we want to seek heavenly things. We want to seek things that pertain to Christ. I also submit unto you the idea behind that is to seek even the very presence of Christ, where Christ sitteth. If you delight in a person, you want to be in their presence, don't you? And so if you want to delight in God, you want to delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to delight to be in His presence. And so he tells us in verse 1 to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then he says, set your affection on things above. You have that mindset of things on above. Focus on those things up above, not on things of the earth. And so have the mindset toward heavenly things, not earthly things. Have the mindset toward Christ and not on yourself. Now I think that, and this is my personal opinion, but this is not a parallel, but we get the same sense, don't we? Couldn't we say, delight in God? Wouldn't that summarize these two verses? I think it's sufficient. And so when we're looking at Psalm 37:4, and he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, we see here, well, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Delight yourself in God. Now, there's another passage in Colossians. I invite you to turn back a page to Colossians chapter 1. And from this text, there's a comparison, not so much in the English as it is the comparison of, and by use of the Greek word that's found here in Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 9 and verse 10, but I want to emphasize verse 10. And it's Paul's desire for the church at Colossae there. He says, for this cause, Colossians 1, 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So Paul's going to pray for these people. And to desire, what's his desire for them? That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy unto the Lord, notice, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The word pleasing there means exactly that. It is pleasing. It is a desire to please. It comes from a main root that means exactly that. It says to be a pleasing or to be acceptable. And so Paul says that his desire for them is that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Right? That's part of the passage. That they would walk worthy of the Lord, the beginning of verse 10. And of course, if you're going to walk worthy of the Lord, there needs to be an obedience unto God. And if you're obedient unto God, you're going to be pleasing unto God. And then you find, he says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful unto every good work. You want to be fruitful in service. And then the last part of verse 10 talks about learning more and more about God. That you might have increase in the knowledge of God. I think we could look at this and say that it would be to please Him, and I believe that we could say that if we please Him, we delight in God. Does that make sense to you? There's a reference, and I just turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you can turn there quickly, it's one book to your right. And I'm just going to look at verse 1. It gives the same kind of sense that He gave to the church at Colossae. He gives to the church at Thessalonica here. But notice, I'm just going to read this reference, and the word please that you find in the text is the same word we just saw in Colossians. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. You can go back to our text if you desire in Psalm 37, but what you see is there are some qualities or characteristics that pertain to this matter of delighting in God. And so when we look back into Psalm 37, and I've tried to give you some definition, I've tried to give you some comparison, I've tried to give you some New Testament application whereby we might have a fuller understanding of the word delight. And we go back to our text, and we see in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. That's the definition of the understanding. Let's take this information and let's make an application and a cause for reflection. If you think about the things which we've discussed up to this point, I think there are some characteristics which are revealed. And I have six of them that I'm going to list to you. Characteristics that I think that involve delighting in God is, first of all, to have an affection toward. Now, in this sense, I am using it with an emotional idea, an emotional attachment. And since we're talking about delighting ourselves in God, it's a person, it's a relationship. You might, as you think about these characteristics or qualities, think about someone you know whom you take delight in and see if these things aren't true. I believe that, and especially toward God, that's the matter of the text anyway, and that's the emphasis of the message. Delight in God. First, to have an affection toward. Second, to desire to be in the presence of. If you delight in someone, don't you want to be in their presence? Number three, to take satisfaction in the interaction. To have interchange, communication, a relationship experience. You like that if you delight in that person, don't you? Number four, to share similar interests. And number five, to bring pleasure toward. Now, in this case, we talk about God. To bring pleasure toward God is for us to be obedient. But if I delight in my wife, I don't necessarily have to be obedient to her in that sense of the word, but I want to please her. If I take delight in her, I want to make her happy. If she delights in me, she wants to make me happy. See how that works? And so if we want to delight in God, part of the characteristic is to bring pleasure toward. And toward God, it'd be a matter of obedience. And then the last thing is this. I believe that if we're going to delight, the relationship is gratifying. It's gratifying to be in that relationship. Now, what does this mean? How do we apply this? What's the expected conduct? He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Let me just run through here very quickly. If we want to delight ourselves in the Lord, based on those characteristics which we just mentioned, we're going to have an awareness of Him. We're going to have a communion with Him. We're going to joy in His person. We're going to adopt His views. We're going to obey His will. And we're going to strive to please Him. And if I delight in the Lord, I believe that these things will be true in my life. I'm going to have to know who He is. I'm going to have to want to commune with Him, that is, speak with Him, and He to speak with me through His Word. I want to join His person. I want to be in His presence. I want to adopt His views. It's not about me. It's about God. I want to obey His will. God, it's not my will, but yours. Then I'll strive to please Him. And if I delight myself in the God, if those characteristics are going to be applied to my relationship with God, then these things are going to be evident of that. Does that make sense? I pray that it does. I hope you see an application there, and it's a challenge to every one of us who name Jesus Christ as our Lord. Because we ought to desire to delight in God. Now, if you happen to pick up a bulletin today, you know I put an outline in the bulletin. And on that outline, I have listed there a little section, and I had to cut other things in order to make room for this, but if you have an outline, if you got a bulletin today, there's an outline in there, in the back of the prayer list is that outline. Turn it over and look at that. And under application and reflection, you see the points that I've discussed, and there's five questions. And if you don't have one, if you desire to do this, you can do this after you leave. You can pick up a bulletin, go home, and do this on your own. Or you can do it right now. I would just conceal your answers and make sure nobody can get a hold of it. Amen? But this is a self-reflection. This is something for you to think about. So I have five questions listed for you on this bulletin insert. And on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least and 10 being the greatest, you ask yourself, we've seen definition, we see a little bit of application. You ask yourself, about your wife or your husband, not about your children, about you. Ask about yourself. How would you answer this? On a scale of 1 to 10, you speak to God often and on a regular basis. What would you mark? Number 2, you read a portion of the Bible on a regular basis. You see, though, both of those deal with communication, doesn't it? You communicating to God, God communicating to you. And if you have marked yourself low on those first two, then you have to say, well, I delight in God, maybe, but I don't really delight to speak to Him and Him to speak to me. That's not much delight going on there, is there? I mean, well, it hurts, don't it? That's kind of stabbing in some ways. We're not trying to be cruel here. We're not trying to be mean. We just want you to search your own heart. How much do you communicate with God? How much does God communicate with you? Number three, you share God's views and perspectives. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you share God's views? You know, I ran into Christians and said, you know what, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what the Bible says, this is what I'm doing. They don't share God's views. They don't share God's perspective. They want to do things their way. Well, that's not, they won't mark that very high if that's true. Number four, you see, His will is a priority and desire to fulfill it. On a scale of 1 to 10, where's God's will in your life? Do you even care about God's will? If you don't, you're going to have to mark 1. But along there, you assess yourself. How interested are you in God's will and fulfilling God's will? Seeking God's will? And simply, number 5, you delight in God. On a scale of 1 to 10, you delight in God. You know what? If you're honest, you're not going to mark 10 on number 5 and mark 5s on the others. You can't. They're going to be pretty much down the line, aren't they? And so if you take this, it's a simple self-assessment. But if you'll just search your heart and ask yourself honestly, well, how much do I speak to God? How much does He speak to me? And how much do I want to be on board with God's views? And I want to do His will, and it means a lot to me. How much do I really delight in God? So all I want you to do is search your heart so that you can ask yourself those hard questions. Because I truly believe that as a Christian, every one of us, we desire to delight in God, though we may not be doing it so well at this point. And we might be doing it better at some times in our lives than at other points in our lives. But do you see the command of our text? Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight in God. How important is He to you? How important is His will? Do you care to be in His presence? You can make the assessment. I encourage you to have the courage to do that, to check yourself out. And it may not be easy. But sometimes this kind of awareness will help us, because then we see where we are and we can cry out to God to bring us to where we ought to be. That being said, Psalm 37, verse 4. We see the definition and some understanding. We hope that you get all that. We see very quickly the application and the reflection. We go back to the text and we see the last part of the verse, verse 4. And what I find here, I listed as consequence and consecration. Because the last part of the verse he says, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What do we see the first part? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's two aspects to the result here. I listed it as consequence and consecration. Let me define this for you and we'll be finished. Consequence. Read it this way. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. Why would He give you the desires of your heart? It is because you're obedient and faithful, and God will answer your prayers. Now that's an aspect of it, and that's true. Trust and delight thyself also in the Lord. What will He do? He'll give you the desires of the petitions, the prayers of your heart. How do I know this? That this is certainly an application of this. Listen, I have some references in the outline. It's just references. I have them typed out. Let me read them to you. 1 John 3:2 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight." You know, the truth is, sometimes we don't get what we ask because we're not obedient. And He says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart." Sometimes you're not going to get the desires of your heart because you're not delighting in God. Does that make sense? 1 Peter 3:2 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over all the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Another reference is Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And so there is some sense here that there's a consequence to our response. If I delight in God, there's a consequence to that. If I don't delight in God, there's a consequence to that. And the consequence that we have listed in the text, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart, and he'll answer your prayers. But there's a second aspect, which I really see more as the intent of the passage. Albeit the first part is definitely true in application. And it's the matter of consecration. Not only is there a consequence, but there's a consecration. Read it in this way. Read it in the perspective that God will answer your prayers because your prayers are right. Look at the text. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What does that mean? In the matter of consecration. If you're delighting in the Lord, what kind of desires are you going to have? You're going to have the right desires. And you know if you have the right desires, it'll be what God wants. It's a matter of consecration, isn't it? Verse references that prove this, just a few. John chapter 14, verse 13 and verse 14 says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Do you believe that? Do you believe if you ask anything in the name of God, it's for his honor, for his glory, for his perspective. It's not about you. It's all about him. You ask it for his sake. You think he'll do it? That's what he said. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of the heart. If you're delighting in God, you'll have the right desires. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." Here's the confidence. "That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Now that's a very key point in the matter of prayer. Because people will go to other passages, they'll go to the Gospels, and they'll look at those verses and they'll say, "If you ask anything believing, you'll receive." And you get the idea and the concept that as long as I believe it, God has to do it. That's just not true, my friend. The only way you can truly believe it from an honest heart is if it's that which is according to his will and according to his name. Because you can deceive yourself and you can convince yourself that this is the thing that God wants for you. But if it's not his will, you've deceived yourself and you can pray it all you want. And the problem about that is people get that perspective, they latch onto that, and they say, "Well, I believed it with all my heart. God didn't do it. Therefore, God failed." God didn't fail. You had a wrong heart and you tricked yourself into thinking that you believed it. I told you that many years ago, desperate times call for desperate measures, and I needed a vehicle. And there was a guy that had a car, and I just said, "Well, I liked it. It was nice. I saw it for sale. I went and looked at it and all that kind of stuff." And I prayed, "God, give me that car." And I believed with all my heart, "God would give me that car." I really believed it. I called up the guy, made an appointment, went out there, looked at the car, and the guy said, "You interested?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, it's so much money." And I said, "Well, I'd like for you to give me your car." He said, "Give me your car. You want me to give you my car?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "I can't do that." I said, "Well, it's a tax deduction, isn't it?" Well, I didn't understand taxes at the time, but I figured, hey, the guy give me his car, write it off. It's a gift. I believed with all my heart that guy was going to give me his car. He says, "Oh, I can't do that." You know what I learned from that? I learned it's very easy to deceive yourself into thinking it's God's will when it really isn't. This is the confidence if we ask anything according to his will. And you're not going to know that unless you delight in him. So if you're not delighting in God, you're not going to be able to pick up on that too much. So you're just shooting in the dark when you're praying. You have to delight in God. And if you delight in God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a consecrated heart. You're going to have the right desires. And you're going to be praying those things which God desires. If you ask anything according to his will, he'll give it to you. Does that click? In summary of both of these, I think of John chapter 15, verse 7. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Both of those, consecration and consequence. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. As a matter of fact, when you look into our text, in the very next verse 5, which we read, it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. You're not going to do that unless you delight in Him. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. His will be done. In conclusion, I believe what we see here is that the Christian should delight himself in the Lord. That's the imperative of the text. Delight thyself also in the Lord. So do that. Desire that. The title of the message is Delight in God. Number two, there are promises, promised blessings to those who do. You delight yourself in God, what does He say? He will give you the desires of your heart. And I believe you'll have right desires. That's part of the text. And I also suggest unto you, number three, that there's always room for improvement. No matter how well you did on that sheet, I would doubt that you put 10 on all those. They might put some 9s, but there's still room for improvement, correct? And since we'll always have room for improvement, do not use it as an excuse for not delighting in the Lord. Oh, well, I'll never be what God wants me to be. I won't be able to score 10 on all those. Yeah, you never will, but can't use that as an excuse and kick back and say, well, I'm not going to try then. I don't care. I don't want to delight in God. If you're a Christian and you get to the place where you desire and you're not going to delight in God, I have to question your profession. I have to question your heart. You have to question your heart. So simply, heed the exhortation we'll find in the text. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And be assured of this as you desire to do so. James 4 verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Isn't that good news? That if I look at my life and see that, you know what, I'm not delighting as I ought, and I don't perhaps want to be in His presence as much as I should, and I don't want to hear from Him as much as I should, and maybe I don't pray like I ought to, I don't delight in Him like I ought to, I know that if I draw near to Him, He'll draw near to me. What a joy. What a joy. I encourage you today to delight yourself in God. And if you're here and you're lost, you know what your biggest need is Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because as a lost person, you're dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says you're an enemy against God. You don't delight in God. You won't obey God. You won't bow the knee to Him. You won't yield. And you cannot in that condition. You need a new heart. And that new heart comes from Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life as He makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Will you repent and believe on the Lord today as He moves on your heart, as He convicts you? Would you be saved? And may those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ search our hearts, ask ourselves these very hard and difficult questions. How much do I delight in God? And then we need to be asking God, God, would You make corrections in me that I would delight in You more and more every day? That's the message. Delight in God. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you are, right where you stand, as God works on your heart, as God moves, you know what? You can make those things right with Him. You can confess. You can plead. You can cry out to Him. And I urge you to do so. If you need help, you come. We'll be glad to help you. We'll be glad to pray with you. If you're lost, you can be saved right there if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, then come and tell us so that you can make your profession of faith public. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We're here to help you, but you're going to have to deal with God. And I just ask you, how much do you delight in Him? May God search our hearts according to His will. Father, thank You for the day. Bless Your word. Search us by Your Spirit. God, cause us to be honest with ourselves. And then, O Lord, I pray for Your grace and mercy to rest upon every one of us who are saved, to desire to be in Your presence, to desire to speak with You, to desire to know Your will, and to do it, to be obedient. God, just work in us, that we might be drawn to You, that we'll live a life that's honoring and pleasing to You, that we might delight in You. We pray for the lost, that they might be saved. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?